Well, Campaign 24 is drawing to a close. This time tomorrow, the polls will be open. And in a moment, we'll hear our final panel of this election campaign. I'll be talking to UCD's Professor Egan Regan and our own Paul Cunningham. After this, look back at some of the key moments from the past 3 weeks. I don't
wanna tiptoe. The time is now right to ask the Irish people to give a new mandate.
We need leadership that has already demonstrated its capacity to weather significant shocks.
Sinn Féin is fighting fit. We are good to go.
We can't be friends.
The door is full of teachers. And nothing wrong with teachers, but I wouldn't generally employ a lot of teachers to go out and get things going.
Completely inappropriate that they would be jeered and demeaned at a Fine Gael event.
If John McGahan had been criminally convicted in a court in this country, he would not be a candidate for my party. Me and my truth,
we sit in. We feel that Fianna Fáil is an empty, hollow husk in terms of ideology.
I think that was arrogant and insulting by Padder.
Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Oh, here we go, you're rolling out the five-year-old
this
line.
This party
come on,
and
you can
that
do better.
Party.
You can do better. Argue, but I don't
wanna fight. We are ignored.
No.
Yes, we were.
No, we were.
Okay,
we can give
and the disability sector is a joke.
I let myself down and I'm deeply annoyed with myself. We can't
be friends. So we see this spiral of competitive bidding for votes.
A 40 billion euro housing plan.
6.5 billion euros of tax cuts.
10 billion euro capital investment in public transport.
5 billion from voted expenditure, 2.5 billion from the Apple taxes.
A doubling of expenditure on social and affordable housing every year.
How much extra would it cost after 4 years?
It would cost 1.8 billion.
You'll miss it, won't you? Those clips compiled by Kate Varley that look back on Campaign 24, and to talk about it all now, Paul Cunningham, our political correspondent, joins me again in studio. And on the line, we're joined by Egan Regan, the Professor of Political Economy at UCD. Egan Regan, there's a thought, and I was asking my panel on The Week in Politics about this last night, that of all campaigns, this one stands out because never has so much been promised to an electorate, possibly to so little effect.
No, I think that's very true. And I also think it's part of the reason why the campaign has been a bit flat. I think unlike the elections in 2020, 2016, 2011, obviously the austerity years, the crash, this election, all parties are promising to cut, well, the big parties are promising to cut taxes, increase spending, making kind of rather unrealistic promises. And I think it does create a bit of cynicism amongst the electorate and voters, because I think they know that it's not realistic. They know that a lot of those promises will not actually be carried through. So I think when voters have that sense of distrust in politics, well, they tend to kind of, apathy is what you get as opposed to engagement.
And is the same true of the debates, Paul? And again, huge engagement, fewer debates obviously in this campaign, but the two RTE debates, huge engagement online and with the podcasts and so on, so the public is engaged. But was the dial moved by the campaigns? Is there any evidence of that so far? Obviously, Friday will tell the tale.
Yeah, no is the answer. I don't think that the big debates changed the dial, even though, as you said, you know, 950,000 tuned into the first debate, more than a million to the second. To a certain extent, I think that there is this sense, the hesitancy within the electorate. According to the most recent Irish Times poll, 19% of people are still undecided. And maybe that's because they don't believe the promises. Maybe it's because they're concerned about the global outlook looking a little bit greyer than we expected. Maybe it's because they don't see an alternative government. But something is sloshing around there and we don't know what it is.
And Egan Regan, the one, I suppose, consequence that was a surprise in this campaign from that Kantark encounter Simon Harris had with Charlotte Fallon, it did put disability centre stage. And it's interesting because a lot of politicians had been coming back from the doorstep saying, this is what's being raised with us. And it hadn't had that prominence beforehand.
No, that's very true. And I think, you know, different electoral campaigns and different issues kind of come to the fore during a campaign. And even if it's not being picked up, for example, in lots of the public opinion and voter attitude polls which are taken during the year. Now, I think in fairness, the Social Democrats, I think, had disability front and centre to their campaign. So they seem to be ahead, if you like, in terms of identifying this as an important issue to voters. Of course, disability is quite a broad term. And I have a feeling that a lot of the issues around disability that people are raising, you know, seem to be connected to the education system, not being able to access certain healthcare. It's a lot of people are associated with the lack of mental health services. So in a sense, I think a lot of it is connected to a feeling that our public services are just not delivering for many people in society that need access to particular types of care.
And of course, Paul, the polling, what about the, and you know, it's very easy to focus on one poll over another. And as we all know, the final poll rests with the people, and that happens tomorrow. But there have been discernible trends, haven't there?
Yes, I think the if you're looking across, whether it's the Sunday Independent poll, the Irish Times poll, or if you're looking at the Business Post poll, the trend is that Fine Gael has been ebbing support. Sinn Féin has begun to gather some support. And then Fianna Fáil has been just remaining nicely bouncing along. The party was a party that had an awful lot of confidence going before the polls were really starting, marginally ahead if you believe the last poll going into the election. So they seem to be quite confident, and yet we're not seeing those big shifts. There doesn't seem to be a wave behind any of the particular parties, and that's giving rise to an awful lot of people wondering. Just wondering what's going to happen. I think to a certain extent the outcome is already priced in. The leaders are going to be hitting the campaign trail today, but just what it is, we don't know and won't know until the boxes are opened at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yes, and Aidan Regan, we have seen Sinn Féin, which in a way went into the campaign on the back foot after recent controversies. Not the surge of 2020 showing up in the polls so far in this campaign, but they have been steadily climbing throughout.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you're fighting an election campaign, you would rather see yourself growing and have a bit of momentum behind you as opposed to falling during the campaign. So I think even though statistically we're talking about small numbers here, you know, kind of 1 or 2%, but it does mean that entering into the final day of voting tomorrow, basically all the big parties, you know, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin, are statistically tied at about 20% when you factor in the margin of error and you average it out over time. So those three parties are basically at 20%. Which goes to show you just how changed Irish politics is, given that if you think about it, back in 2007, Fianna Fáil got 42%, right? And between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in the early 2000s, they were averaging about 70%. But it does mean that because they're statistically tied basically at 20%, transfers is going to be key. So whatever party can attract the most transfers is likely to be the party that's going to emerge out on top. And we can see very clearly, which is something, again, which is a new trend in Irish politics, with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are very strongly transferring to each other, which means that they're going to get a seat bonus because they're quite disciplined in that transfer between each other, where it's much more fragmented from Sinn Féin and the wider left.
And of course, we have Fianna Fáil saying that they're always underestimated in the polls. Talk to me, Paul, about the impact of the smaller parties in the campaign, and the outcome for them could be very critical, couldn't it, to government formation?
It's always difficult for the smaller parties to be able to get media coverage because the big beasts are out there. But you're absolutely right. It's notable that, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been emphasising how they like the Labour Party, and that seems to be a flag that if it was the case that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil were to do well, that they'd be looking for a plus one, and that plus one seems to be Labour. Labour has confident in how things are going, but as just mentioned there, there's a difficulty within the cohesion between those left parties. So Labour seems to be more open to an alliance. The Social Democrats don't want to do that, even though in many cases their policies are very close. The Green Party has been tacking away from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil over the course of the campaign, something Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil noted, and have now begun to throw brickbats at them. So they're all there, they're all confident, and yet at the same time, we don't know who's going to come through.
And Aidan Regan, in terms of the smaller parties, there's, you know, always the criticism, why don't they come together? And, you know, that way they could form a substantial bloc. There may be talks afterwards. But there's also maybe a criticism, isn't there, to be levelled at Sinn Féin? Why haven't they made common cause with parties they should have a lot in common with, apart, of course, from the climate issue?
No, absolutely. I think, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael clearly are telling the electorate, vote for us, we're the government, we can get, we are going to govern together, we are the... But Sinn Féin can't really do that because there's no cohesion amongst the Social Democrats, Labour, Independent Lefts, and then the further left again. Green Party on top of that too. So, of course, one could imagine that the smaller left parties plus Greens and Independents create a platform which might be an invitation for Sinn Féin and them to come together and say, look, we are the alternative government. If you want to vote for a different government, the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and we know that about half of the electorate want to see a change in government, but again, it's not quite consistent in terms of what that looks like. So, no, absolutely, you'd have to wonder why there was not more coordination in the opposition benches. And I suspect the reason for that is a lot of them are competing competing for the same vote. But then you could say the same for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So again, if Sinn Féin want to lead an alternative government, a lot of people, of course, are asking themselves, well, if I vote for Sinn Féin, who are they going to govern with? Because based on the present numbers, realistically, you're only talking about Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, and maybe something like a broader centre-left platform on top of that, which again is not that may well be the outcome, right?
And it's been said this election, Paul, is the year of the independents. I mean, anything up to 20%, and it covers quite a gamut, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, if you look at the trends in the polls over the past year, independents have been performing strongly. But within that block, you've got different things. You've got Independent Ireland, three independent TDs have come together to form a party. They look as if they're going to make gains. You've also then got independents on different parts of the spectrum, on the left and on the right. And then you've also got people who are independents, but who only are recently independent, maybe fell out with some of their bigger parties. So it's quite a sort of a varied group. They're all bulked together, but just exactly how they're going to perform. And one would imagine they're going to perform strongly because that's a consistent trend through the polling over the past 12 months.
And we did have previously, of course, the Independent Alliance. So there is a track record of independents being able to come together and stick with government. Again, Bertie Ahern in his time relying on independent votes.
Indeed. And then some of the smaller parties like Aintu, who would have an independent outlook, they too would be saying, we're serious, we want to go into government. The question would be is, do the numbers add up?
And speaking about the numbers, and I know you'll have heard, Aidan, over the past couple of days, Micheál Martin adamantly ruling out that question of Fianna Fáil coalescing with Sinn Féin in coalition. But on the other hand, haven't we learned in Irish politics, and I'm sure they'll all dislike me for saying this, but isn't the precedent that there are absolutes up to polling day, and after polling day, there's numbers?
No, absolutely. And you can go further back in time where Fianna Fáil completely ruled out the possibility of doing a coalition with anybody whatsoever. And of course, they ended up doing coalitions with the Progressive Democrats, even though they staunchly opposed it in advance. I mean, Micheál Martin has said very clearly, so it's obvious that he has a very strong preference on this. But of course, Micheál Martin is not the entire Fianna Fáil party. So you'd have to assume there are various different factions within Fianna Fáil. After the election, whatever way the numbers roll, it's obvious that their preference is to have a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael plus something else, and even though, but that may not even be possible, right? Because on the one hand, Fianna Fáil need Fine Gael to perform better than what the polls are currently suggesting in order to have a position, in order to form a proper government, a stable government with them plus another party. So it may well be the case that the numbers roll and Fine Gael may decide, actually, do you know what? We don't want to be the small party here because we can't really stake a claim to have a rotating Taoiseach. So Micheál Martin, if he's faced with the prospect of becoming Taoiseach with Sinn Féin and something else on top of that for 5 years, would he turn it down? And if he did turn it down, what would be the alternative government? So no, I totally agree. I mean, even though it's clear that that's what his strong preference is and they're signalling very strongly to the electorate that they want a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government, and you can see it very clearly in terms of the transfer patterns of their voters, that's what they want too. But ultimately, it's a numbers game. And whatever way those numbers permutate after the election will likely decide the type of coalition and government that we get.
The line you can always anticipate on Anya is that the people have spoken and politicians have to take heed of that.
Yeah.
we'll have to have a bingo game for whoever says that first on Saturday. All right. Thank you very much indeed. And it is in the hand of the voters. By the way, Paul, just remind us what people need when they're going to the polls tomorrow.
All you need to have is a photographic ID, a passport, a driving licence, a student card. If a polling card has not arrived but your name is on the register, you can still vote. So go down and do just that.
And don't mind the rain. Get out and vote. All right. Thank you both for joining us. And that's, as I say, our last panel on Campaign 24.